Well, today, of course, is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. And a great national holiday this is. It's a wonderful day. Most worthy. I believe all of us would say so. It's most worthy. And especially if we have and had a godly mother. One of the greatest compliments I have ever received in my life came from my mother not long ago. She wrote to me, this is basically what she said, "I'm so happy and blessed that God will let me be your mother." Well, my word, I know that I could never deserve such a compliment, but you know mothers love their children. They love their children. Yet, there is a mother in the Holy Scriptures, such I believe could say that of her son, and he would be worthy. And she doesn't get a whole lot of attention, like a lot of mothers. Doesn't get a whole lot of attention. Her son grew up to be a little different, you might say, a little bit of an oddball. His clothing was not the normal attire of the day, nor his diet. The Bible says that he was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. He's outdoors kinds of guy, you know. Amen. Well, John the Baptist would be one of the greatest men to ever live. To ever live on this earth. And this is not just the estimate of his loving mother. It's the estimate from God himself. Amazing. The Bible says in Luke 7:28, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." How about that? But of course, the lesson of he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So that leaves room and opportunity for others. But without question, John the Baptist is highly, highly, highly esteemed by our Lord. Now, much of what we learn about John the Baptist comes from the same passage where we learn much about his mother. And that is in Luke chapter 1. I invite you there today. And here the doctor, he's a doctor, and he gives us great detail and order of things being laid out to his friends, so really now, of course, handed down through to us all. Now, I worked to carve out this and that, this and that, and this and that, and then this and that didn't work, and that and this didn't work, and then this and that didn't work again. Well, I was trying to shorten it up a little bit because this is Mother's Day, of course, and but I struggled to do so, so I finally just quit, and I'll give you the entire chapter. It's a long one, so please do be patient. I have a plan, though, to break it up, as you'll find shortly. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. "Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron." Of course, that's the great high priest. "And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude, the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense when he was inside serving. There appeared unto him," Zacharias, "an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth," obviously she had been praying too, "shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name," what? "John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. That's quite an undertaking. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. In other words, he wanted to say she's an old woman, but he didn't dare say that. And the angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. How dare you challenge this? I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You've doubted. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Now, how would you like to try that sign language? And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, of course, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now this is a good place for me to pause and offer a little bit of something to break up the reading. So let's ponder for a minute the question, why did Elizabeth, why did she hide, seclude herself for 5 months after she got pregnant? Have you ever wondered that? Well, I do. Well, for kicks, just for kicks, let's offer with a little fun something for mothers, shall we? Okay, let's start our list. She didn't really want to speak for the family. Of course, he couldn't. She did not want to show up her husband by her skilled vocabulary. She had the morning sickness for 5 months. She was afraid her belly button would show up first. Like my wife, she belts like a fat man. She did not want to be invited on the Joe Rogan podcast or The View. She suffered from swollen feet. They had just put in a new pool and she wanted to work on her tan. She didn't feel like answering everyone's questions. And she certainly did not want her skinny Yankee neighbor, who always had something smart-alecky to say, tell her, I knew that you were pregnant last year, you were showing. Or, girl, that's just wishful thinking out loud. Or say, honey, you're not pregnant, you're just putting on a few more pounds. Or maybe you found the Krispy Kreme donut shop, didn't you? How about she didn't want everybody staring at her belly? She was always exhausted and out of breath. She was embarrassed by all the food that she was eating. Now, Shalice Foster gave me these after I shared with her my list. Of course, all but the last three. That credit goes to Sydney Smith, who demanded reparations for her contribution to my sermon. So I have a penny for her after church. Now, what's my list? She wanted to wait until Zacharias could say something also. She wanted him to be included in this. She thought, well, I am old, so I better stay in and take good care of myself, at least for a while. Or she felt going organic instead of going out to eat was a good idea after reading an article online. Or next, it took her all that time to get it all straight with her fans on social media. She thought, I will wait long enough that I can have a real good showing to create a shocking effect for my witness unto the Lord. Well, they were remodeling the house and she just couldn't get away. Or she was in prayer. Now, one of these is probably just about as good as the others, because in fact, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say why she basically hid or remained in the house during these 5 months. We don't know. So again, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house and lineage of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth," here's our lady, "thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age." Now she also conceived, but Mary's young. "And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, now 6 months alive in the womb, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now Elizabeth, though highly favored here, and being even the elder, recognized Mary's supreme honor in the plan of God to carry the Lord, to carry the Messiah, confirming even her understanding that he was divine. Verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Then verse 45, perhaps reflecting upon her husband's doubt with the announcement of John coming from the angel Gabriel. Verse 45, "And blessed is she that believed." Blessed is she that believed. "For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And then we see Mary's song of praise. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree," including her. "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hoped," it's an old word for helped, "he hath hoped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about near 3 months and returned to her own house. Now verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son as promised. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed a great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Certainly that's the custom. And his mother, what did she do? His mother answered and said, not so. No way, Bubba. For he shall be called, what? John. And they said unto her, there's nobody in your old family by that name. What in the world are you doing, woman? Well, that's somewhere in there. There's none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to the father. Now they're trying to do sign language. You know, can you imagine what that looked like? How he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table. He said, these people are driving me crazy. Give me something to write with. And he says, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth, Zacharias, his mouth was open immediately and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their heart, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Then we look at verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, John's father, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, now if you study this out a little bit, some scholars say there are at least 16 allusions or quotations that he provides, all coming from the Old Testament. So in other words, what he was about to praise God with was much the very word of God. And by the way, it's very similar to that of Mary's praise in the order that she follows. Verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, where'd that start? Which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So you see, God's redeeming work should involve salvation, mercy, and the covenant fulfilled. Then Zacharias goes into the role that his new son, of course, John, is going to be engaged in his honorable role there. And he says, and thou, child, John, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy, how might they know this salvation? Through the tender mercy of our God. In other words, never earning salvation. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Through the tender mercies of God, we are saved. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Verse 80, and the child grew, John, he grew, waxed strong in the spirit and in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. That's a wonderful chapter. It's a long chapter, but it's absolutely a wonderful chapter. It includes two great women in prominence in the reading of the text. Others, but the two most prominently. Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the target, of course, of our interest today, whose name, by the way, means God is my oath, or God is abundance. God is abundantly dealing with me. Now, let me point out a few things to you, maybe about five if I have the time, and I tried to cut out some of the songs today to be able to get to this. Number one, both Zacharias and Elizabeth came from great stock. You could say they had high pedigrees. They both came out of the family of the first high priest, Aaron. That's top shelf stuff in Israel, okay? Number two, they both had lived long lives. Both had been obedient to God. Both were honorable in all ways. Yet, Elizabeth was barren. She was not able to have children. And this was culturally something of a hit. She was even referred to as that barren one, the barren one. For decades, I'm sure she tried to have babies, to have a child. Even asking God for a child. Having perhaps some of these cousins that are mentioned in the text. Would you pray for me that God would bless me and give me a baby? I want a baby so bad. But then she'd come to conclude in her old age now, past childbearing stage, just not meant to be. She thought. The Bible says, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. In other words, they were not only the right bloodline, I mean, they had high pedigree, they were very, very honorable, godly people. Number three, the life of Elizabeth is a great example of learning how to wait on the Lord and to live an honorable life as a wife and mother. And there's a lot more here that you can dig out, and I would encourage you to do so because there's some gold nuggets in here, and I know that you can find them if you'll ask the Lord to help you. Let thy will be done could be a saying on the end of her footnote on the end of her emails. Let thy will be done. For now she is an elder woman past childbearing age, yet she shines in belief and faith greater than even her husband. Now he's already way up here, but she shines in faith greater even than her husband. Greater even than Sarah, the wife of Abraham, who laughed. Greater than even Sarah. Elizabeth did not laugh. Elizabeth did not doubt. Elizabeth believed God, though she did not directly hear from the angel. She directly heard from her husband. Once removed, you see, from the revelation. Once removed from the revelation through the witness of her husband. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You see what I mean? What a wonderful woman. What a wonderful believer. What a wonderful mother. Such strength. There is absolutely no record in the holy record here of God that she actually had a visitation from an angel to declare that she would have a child and he would be John and all these details. All of that, listen, all of that was given to her husband. And she had a choice. Either believe what God had said through her husband or not to believe. And she believed. She didn't laugh like Sarah did. She didn't doubt even like her good husband, great husband did. She simply believed. She believed. And that his name would be John. Now we know that when a baby was born, the neighbors, of course, and the kin came around, as the custom was, of course, in that day. And of course, chose then the name, the family name, the name of the father, Zacharias. But what did Elizabeth immediately say to challenge the status quo and even the cultural, spiritual expectation of that day? No. His name is John. You see that? Emphatic, direct, straightforward. No ambiguity, no wishy-washiness, no blowing with the wind. No, well, what do y'all think? No, his name shall be John. The Bible says in verse 58, look there and see it for yourself. And her neighbors, her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy unto her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day when they came to circumcise the child, they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. That was the custom. And his mother answered and said, not so, for he shall be called John. Just like that. Lickety split. Just like that. He shall be called John. And they said unto her, wait. Hold on just a minute, sister. There's none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they start looking for backup. What did they do? Okay. You know, I mean, they don't know sign language. They make signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is, you see the emphatic nature of that? His name is John. In other words, there ain't going to be any argument about this. I'll take no lip about it. His name shall be John. And they marveled all. Think about this now. Elizabeth, hearing from her husband the word of God, she carried a certainty about her. In other words, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. That type of certainty. Elizabeth is that kind of a woman. She's that kind of a mother. She believes God's word. And she's having none of this other option, even if it is the custom. John would not be called after his daddy or the family name, because God has already spoken. God has already determined otherwise. God's word first, God's will first, God's way first. That's Elizabeth. That is Elizabeth. Now, if you're going to raise up a John the Baptist, you better have an Elizabeth. God had taken care of that. I say, what a woman. I would add, what a mother. Absolute nature about her. Now, I know this carried a lot of weight in the rearing of John, because he was also a servant of God with that same way of certainty about him and about his work. Recall when he saw our Lord walking near John. John proclaimed in John 1, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." See that? The certainty. Where did he learn that? Where did he learn that? As John was the lesser than the Lord in the womb, and elsewhere Elizabeth proclaimed that truth, so John, her son, said of the Lord, "He must increase and I must decrease." Now, that would be like a politician today telling you he wants to fade into the background. Since when? Since when? John was immensely popular. But yet, God had already spoken. And so, he declared, "He must increase and I must decrease." John was that type of man, the man of God, that God would need to draw swords spiritually against the spiritual high class of that day, the spiritual, supposed spiritual elite of that day. And God is going to need a man to stand in that gap, and to be that type of man of certainty with the spiritual leaders of that day. With certainty. If you're going to stand against them, you better know what you're talking about. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, "And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism," listen, "he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves," I know what you're going to say, I know what you're going to be thinking, "we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Wow. Talking about taking the axe to the tree. John. Elizabeth. Connect the dots. Not only that, but also the corrupt political leaders of that day as well. The corrupt Herod Antipas had violated the word of God and married his sister-in-law. Herodias and John the Baptist confronted him in this unlawful union under the law, by the way, for which John was jailed and later beheaded at the instigation of this wicked wife and the devil union of them two. How about that? Mark 6:18, "And John had said unto Herod, for John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." It's wrong. Certainty. Confrontation. He's got the sword out. He knows how to use it. Elizabeth had the sword out long before him, and she knew how to use it. Sounds a little bit like what Timothy learned from his mother and grandmother. I'm suggesting to you that I believe there's a direct relation of the quality of the mother to the quality of the son. And I think we have more than sufficient proof, even right here in this same chapter, for that position. You with me? You got your thinking hats on? More than sufficient evidence for it. John the Baptist. You say, well, there, you know, there's a father and mother. I know that. But let me tell you. Many times there's one member, the husband or the wife, that they're trying their best to do good, but they don't have the full support of the other. Usually, the rest of that story is a son who puts his finger to the air far too many times in his life, wondering which way the wind's going to blow. Because he's kind of had to learn how to navigate, make compromises, and all that kind of stuff. There is no compromise with Elizabeth. There's no compromise with Elizabeth. When Elizabeth said, John, clean your room, John knew that she meant clean the room. Right? Obedience, learning obedience. It's important, vital important. Blessed is the man, and blessed is the woman who has had and been blessed by God to have both a godly father and a godly mother. And John had both. But Elizabeth played a major, major role in the life of John the Baptist as his mom. Number four, John was raised by a mother to serve God with his life. He wasn't just raised by a mother to become a believer. He was raised by his mother to become one who served God faithfully all the days of his life. There's a difference. There is a difference. Look at chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. In the declaration, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. What was the culture of that day? Well, children are to be seen and not heard. Kind of something like that, okay? Well, mama will take care of all of that. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Daddies, your children need you. And the disobedient, the wayward, the vagabonds, the rebellious ones, turn them to the wisdom of the just. Turn them away from going down the wrong road to getting on that narrow path, the path of life and righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, how many of you think, well, that's an easy job? You know, I mean, anybody can do that. Yeah, you think so? You really think so? Think about that again. Turn the hearts of the fathers in that culture. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. It's imperative that you get this, men. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Turn the unrighteous, the wayward, the rebellious to be obedient, joyfully obedient to the Lord. Wow. Not only that, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Because he was, in fact, the forerunner, the preparer of the one who should come. Now, I was thinking about this even early this morning. Would to God that Christian mothers would make it their aim to raise their children not only to be saved, but to faithfully serve God with the rest of their lives. And realize the more important task that a boy could have growing up, it's more important than having a good job or a good education, is to serve God faithfully with all of his life. Would to God, that mothers everywhere would realize what a sober responsibility I have. Most mothers, Christian mothers, say, I want to see my child is saved. Well, this goes much beyond that. Much beyond that. No, that's not good enough for my boy. I want my boy to know that he was meant to serve God all the rest of his days, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How about that? How about that? I said, how about that? Talk about high standards. Well, Elizabeth was a woman. Elizabeth was a mother of high standards. If you had a mother of high standards, you ought to be on your knees thanking God for such a mother as that. Number five, Elizabeth's pregnancy and testimony serve as a sign of God's plan of salvation for the ages. What a comprehensive view. Luke chapter 1, verse 76, "And thou, child, John," that's not only the father's sentiment, "shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, never earning salvation, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." If the Jews supposedly earned their salvation, Zacharias knew nothing of that doctrine. Elizabeth knew nothing of that doctrine. John the Baptist knew nothing of that doctrine. Even more importantly, Jesus knew nothing of that doctrine. The remission of sins only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to live as a man, die a substitutionary death for sin and sinners, and be buried and raised again the third day, according to the Scripture, for our justification, both Jews and Gentiles alike. Now John the Baptist was to, for the Lord, prepare the way. And that was detailed how he was to prepare the way for the Lord. We already have that threefold answer in the text itself. You don't have to imagine what that would be. It's already right there. Elizabeth was to prepare his way to do just that. Now think about that sober responsibility, mothers. Elizabeth was to prepare John's way to do just that. And she, according to God's way, she is the right kind of woman for that. She's the right kind of mother, I would submit to you, for that job. Yeah. The question is, would you mothers and those desiring to be mothers commit yourselves to this worthy example today that we find from this wonderful, wonderful lady, wife, and mother, Elizabeth? I pray so. I pray that you would take that seriously and take it to heart. And if so, may God of heaven be with you. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.